Welcome to the Nourish Wrap Podcast, hosted by two passionate clinical nutritionists whose mission is to educate, inspire, and empower people to lead a more nourishing life. Katie and Jessica value evidence-based practice, holistic healing approaches, and practical health advice, all while having fun along the way. We thank you for tuning in and hope you enjoy the show.
Jess and I are really excited because we're continuing on with our theme of skin health this fortnight, and we've actually got a special guest with us this week, Meg. She's also a fully qualified nurse.
Hi there.
So just to start off with, Meg's going to just introduce herself and tell us a little bit about her background.
So I've been working in skin for about 10 years. I've been nursing for a lot longer. Yep. I don't want to give my age away, but... So I came to skin through working in a laser clinic, predominantly starting with laser tattoo removal. So very big, has been, continued to be for the last 15 years or so. And lasers have developed in that time, so I've seen some technology advancement.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I started, and then got into IPL, skin rejuvenation,
mm-hmm.
Dermapen. So just trying to work with collagen, elastin, boosting skin integrity. And, you know, since then I've done a little bit more work on the nutrition side of things, trying to work from within.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and I guess that's, you know, why we're having to chat today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've got an interesting background because you've always been very much interested in medicine from a holistic perspective.
Yes, that's my own, I guess, passion.
Yeah.
Having had a very sensitive constitution myself, I guess, that, I've learnt that my diet is really important to my own skin health.
Yeah.
Allergic to baby wipes, have been hospitalised a few times with various major skin reactions.
Oh, wow.
So sunscreen, that sort of thing. So the holistic background comes from, my own response to parabens and petrochemicals.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's probably a good place to dive in, Meg, and ask... So last week we talked about, or last fortnight, Jess and I were trying to educate people about how what's on the outside is sort of a reflection of what's on the inside.
Yes.
But you're probably better at explaining how what we do on the outside also affects us on the inside.
Yes.
Hey?
Yes. Oh, totally. So I see a lot of clients come through with very stressed.
Yeah.
Overworked skin, where they, you know, they're following a really complicated regime that someone's put them on, or they've Googled themselves and decided to put themselves on, and you know they're generally often not an oily skin or a dry skin. They're often sensitive, but they've overworked their skin and they've stripped it back to the point where it becomes quite raw and sore and congested.
Okay.
So often less is more. We need to really go back to basics and look at what their home care is, and just strip it back and just say, okay, let's see what your skin does when we take it back to a really just a very basic cleanse and moisturize routine.
Yeah.
And then once we've stabilized things, then we can start introducing some of our key ingredients that will work specifically on different areas like redness or an inflammation or congestion.
Okay, so when you talk about overworking the skin,
yes,
you mean like somebody who's maybe coming in and they're cleansing and they're scrubbing and they're putting a mask on and they're doing like
peels and micros and and all that has its place, but you need to understand what the skin, the barrier function of the skin, is doing in the first place. And if the skin is really, really stressed, it usually comes down to what you're eating, your stress levels, your hormonal levels, and what you're putting on your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And so when the skin is overworked like that, does that affect the way internally oils and things are produced?
Yes, I think so. Because what happens is, particularly in a, what happens is the keratin's overproduced in the skin cell. So in an acne type of skin, you get a thickening of the skin cells. So they build up on top of each other. They cling to each other. That's where the keratin comes in.
Mm-hmm.
and they don't shed. So a healthy skin will turn itself over and the cell will renew.
Yep.
But in a acne-type prone skin, those cells cling together and they just layer on top of each other, and you've got this dead layer and the sebum pushes up against it and you get these horrible cysts that just won't amount to anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've got some key ingredients like your vitamin A, which will help turn the skin cells over. Mm. But obviously, you know, it works on DNA, so you can't take it when you're pregnant. So you have to be very, you know, vigilant about what dose you would use, how often you would use it, using it with sunscreen.
Okay.
All of that. So,
just back on that, you know, how what we do on the outside affects the inside. What about, like, there's more awareness now for, you know, using more natural makeups and more natural, and you talked before about having an allergy to parabens and whatnot. What are some of the things that people, before we talk about what we should be doing, what are some of the things that people should be looking out for that they don't want to be putting on their skin and they don't want to be applying because eventually it's going to sink into the body and do some damage?
Yeah, so you're really drying agents like your benzols, your alcohols, they can be great as a spot treatment, but people are often going all out and putting it all over their face.
And they
come in and they're like, I don't know what's wrong, I'm oily, I'm dry. It's like, well, you know, you've got a combination skin, so maybe you only need that product in the T-zone or just spot treat.
Yeah.
Less is more often, unless you've got a really severe case.
Yeah.
And then we would treat that differently.
Okay. And what about soaps and that sort of thing?
Yes. Soaps are usually generally pretty drying. So it really depends on whether it's got a glycerin or a vegetable base as opposed to your old-fashioned kind of soaps. Cleansers, you really don't need to spend a lot of money, and people will hate me for saying that. Yeah. But it just needs to have some basic emollient cleansing ingredients in it to basically not strip the skin too far back. So you don't want to push it so that you're altering the pH of the skin too much. So your skin's got a barrier function, and that's to protect you from the external elements.
Yes, we talked about that last week.
So just on that, I'm interested to know, what is the pH of the skin, or what should it be kept at?
So, you've got me on the spot, but I think it's about 5.
More acidic. Right?
More acidic, as that barrier function.
Okay. And, I mean, like, the last fortnight we talked a lot about gut integrity.
Yes.
But I think it's really interesting because we were talking about how, it's probably the same with gut, people decide they have a gut problem and they throw all this stuff at it, and then their gut's so confused they don't even know what's going on.
Yes.
And we often talk about, you know, working with what you've got, you know, trying to increase your own microbial population and that sort of thing. And it sounds like it's kind of similar externally. You want to work with your own skin and encouraging, you know, encouraging self-healing and that sort of thing.
Yes, exactly. And people often want a quick fix where there, you know, really isn't one.
Yeah.
So it takes time to rebuild your skin integrity and turn those cells over. Yeah. So, you know, when someone says, you know, I've got a big function next week, well, we can help it to look better for the function.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, the turning the skin cells over takes time. So you're looking at, you know, a minimum 2 to 3 months period to actually change the integrity of that skin barrier.
And what sorts of things in our products will we be looking at to support that, like in a natural way?
So like you would use in your nutrition, which is very similar. So the products that we know that we call active ingredients are your vitamin C's topically, your vitamin A, your zinc, really important.
Yeah.
And
so this is topically. So in our skin products, if we're shopping and we see these ingredients.
Yes, they are the gold star.
Okay.
And hyaluronic acid, which we make ourselves, but we obviously have a synthetic version that is very similar, and the body doesn't really know the difference between the synthetic version. It's water binding, so, you know, it's really super hydrating without clogging the skin. And we'll often use that post Dermapen, it's in our Beauty Boost treatment as well. So it's about putting moisture back into a really dehydrated skin. And, you know, as an apple oxidizes, you know, so does our skin.
Yeah.
And your nose.
That makes sense.
It's really important in Australia, particularly in Queensland, to wear a good sunscreen, because that's the single biggest anti-aging thing that I believe you can do. Erring on the side of more natural, if possible. I really like a zinc-based sunscreen that is very healing for any redness as well.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, really good mineral makeups out there.
Yeah. Yes.
Good brands that will actually help your skin to breathe, you know, while you're actually trying to cover up any issues.
Okay. So could you, like, actually, because these, you're speaking a lot about, like, nutrient-based stuff.
Yes.
So could you use, like, you know, real food as, like, skincare?
Yes. I mean, I think, you know, our grandmothers. Probably their grandmothers have used, definitely your ingredients, like your egg whites and your avocados. You know, nutritious oils. Rosehip oil I love. I'm a big fan of rosehip oil. It's my go-to when skin is really stressed and doesn't really want to tolerate very much at all.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I kind of like that idea, is using the food as a beauty type of tool.
Yeah.
On the outside as well.
And also, Meg, we were talking a lot about the microbiome of the gut. Like the bacteria in the gut a fortnight ago. It's true that we have bacteria everywhere, though, isn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. So the P. acne bacteria is the one that actually is in the skin that it triggers the acne flare-up. So we usually treat that with a combination of different things, so like your carbon charcoal paste with a laser that will help draw out that bacteria. A blue LED light will actually kill the bacteria. So
it's interesting, isn't it?
Yes,
very. And is there anything that you do to replenish then the store, like the balance of
So that's when you're looking at your hyaluronic over the top of it, and we use there's some wonderful things, like ingredients out there, like your Manuka honeys and things as well.
And going back to food intake, then, like, especially with the gut, you're looking at, with imbalances of bacteria in the gut, cutting refined sugars and things
absolutely.
Like that. And with the skin?
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time. I have, I see a lot of Asian clients as well, and often the first thing that we'll talk about is, you know, what they're eating. Often it's a lot of dairy. When they cut back on the dairy, they're like, oh, you know, the skin is really not breaking out nearly as much as it was a month ago. So it's not always that simple. Wish it was.
Yeah.
But keeping a food diary and working out the process of elimination, what your triggers might be, really crucial.
Yeah. And that's definitely it's not... It goes back to that whole ancestral eating thing, doesn't it, really? Because at the end of the day, most people who are of an Asian descent probably aren't going to digest dairy great.
Yeah.
So it is going to cause, if it's not going to be digested, it's going to cause clogging.
It's going to come out somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Skin's the largest organ.
So that's really interesting, because it sounds like some skin conditions and things, especially acne, it's almost like dysbiosis on
the
face.
Skin, I know. It's so interesting.
How, like, in the gut, that bad bacteria flares up and causes, you know, farting and IBS
and rosacea, inflammation. And there's a theory that there's skin mites in skin as well.
But that hasn't been proven.
Well, it's still being proven.
Wow.
Yeah. So there is a link between the skin mites and inflammation, and obviously starts with what you eat.
Wow. So I guess that also goes back to using, you know, antimicrobials internally as well, potentially to help with, you know, getting rid of yucky bacteria.
Yes, absolutely. And obviously if someone's on, you know, sees a dermatologist for really cystic acne and is on something like Roaccutane and antibiotics often, long term, 6 months, 12 months, then their gut flora is going to really need replenishing and building up with your probiotics. Prebiotics.
Roaccutane, can you explain a little? I'm interested in Roaccutane because I don't really understand. It mimics vitamin A, is that right?
That's it. I'm not a dermatologist and I don't claim to be. And doses are a lot smaller these days than they used to be.
Yeah.
And courses tend to be for a lot less time than they used to be as well. So they get good results on low doses, but only for really extreme cases. They often do have them on a retinol vitamin A product as well.
Okay.
It can make you really skin sun sensitive. So
yeah.
It's a bit of a double-edged sword. It dries up all the sebaceous oil, but also any moisture as well. So it's quite indiscriminate.
Right.
So people often find that their lips get really cracked and bleed, that their sweat dries up, and so, and obviously has some pretty major side effects.
Yeah.
So it's really a last resort that you want to go to. So if someone comes in and they're really extreme, we want to talk about what we can do to help them help themselves first with the diet and everything. And look, you do get those cases that are just really hard. And that's definitely dermatologist territory.
Yeah.
You know, I know my scope of practice.
Yeah.
And I know when it's like, you need to be referred on.
Yeah. Okay. And there's obviously, you know, it seems as though, I mean, there's so much awareness now. There's a lot of people looking for vegan makeup products.
Yes. A lot of those questions.
So, in your opinion, can you see there's a lot more awareness now across the skin industry?
Oh, so much around. So. In the last 10 years, it really has gained some momentum in the last probably 2 years. Things are really starting to be spun on their head. And I think it's consumer driven, which is awesome,
good,
because people come in and they're informed.
I think it is consumer driven.
So we are having to look at our practices and change them.
Yeah.
Because that's what the consumer wants.
Yeah. I think, do you think this, that people are starting to accept the concept of gut health being a big driver for skin?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Even on a professional level?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
There's, I mean, probably half of the people that come through the door will have some sort of an awareness of, you know, whether it's just something that they've read or someone is on a special diet for their skin. It, you know, it comes up
pretty
regularly in conversation.
And I think maybe, Meg, that you were talking to us before about the new plasma treatment you guys are offering.
So it's a plasma replacement. And basically we take blood from the client and spin it through a centrifuge and separate out the plasma.
Mm.
And then it gets injected back into whether that's scar tissue or you know, wrinkly, depleted skin, and it will basically help the skin to rehydrate and reform collagen and elastin. So it's a pretty neat treatment in that you're tapping into your own byproduct. You know, as opposed to something that's less natural.
But in order, what the real kicker is for, I guess, us as nutritionists, is that the prep for it and the, where your state of health needs to be in order to be eligible for it. So talk us through that.
Yes. So basically, you need to be healthy to have this treatment. You don't want, you know, crappy, for want of a better word, plasma. You need to be in a healthy, robust state to produce good collagen and elastin.
Yeah.
So, you know, as that pool depletes in our skin, you know, as we age over, you know, 50 plus, then we lack reserves. So if we can actually tap into this ourselves by being healthy and well and reproducing and manufacturing, you know, it's going to be a good outcome.
So what sort of things do you say to clients that they need to do in prep for it?
Yeah, so this is where we...
And how long for as well?
Yes, so look, probably a minimum of 8 weeks to really start to think about some of the things that you don't want to be on. So we have a list here of things that will thin the blood, and even your natural things, so not just your Nurofen and your aspirin, but your green tea, your fish oils, your evening primrose oil, garlic, echinacea, vitamin E, and St. John's wort. So, you know, quite interesting that those things can actually thin the blood and alter the integrity of your plasma. And obviously wanting to be as healthy as you can to make the best
plasma
so that you get a much better result. So, you know, there's people that wouldn't be appropriate for the treatment. So someone with, you know, like a clotting disorder, or someone who has cancer, or very high cholesterol, that sort of thing.
So the cholesterol comes up in the plasma,
it does.
Wow.
So
if you got someone under a lot of inflammation, and you know, high trans fat diet, high sugar diet,
they're just not going to get their bang for their buck, and get the result that you know you could have based on being as well as you possibly can be pre-treatment.
Okay, that's so fascinating. It really highlights the connection, doesn't it?
It does. We're all connected. It's not just your exterior.
No,
it's driven from
absolutely.
You know,
So have you seen you have a lot of passion for nutrition, Meg. So have you said to clients before, look, you know, I can do the best I can here, but you need to work on your diet? And have you seen good results when they've actually done that?
Yes, definitely. And, you know, disclaimer, I'm not a nutritionist or a naturopath, but I can link them in to some pretty good ones, like yourselves.
Yeah.
Definitely for my acne clients and my rosacea clients, even the psoriasis clients that have, you know, eczema, dermatitis, you know, dehydrated, just dry, fragile skin.
Yeah.
All have made, you know, all my clients that have, we've spoken about nutrition and diet, have made changes and come back in and gone, you know, even in a month, wow, I can't believe the difference in how my skin is responding in conjunction with the treatments that we do. But you know, what we put in our body is obviously going to reflect in the skin. So you know,
That's great. And it's interesting how, you know, we went through how what you put in affects the outside, but at the same time what you're putting on can still affect the inside. It's just like cycle.
It's a lot to think about.
But like you say, maybe it's very much about keeping it simple, and not overworking the skin.
Absolutely.
From the outside.
And using key products. Like if you're going to throw money at it, make sure that you're using the right active ingredients, but for your skin.
Yeah.
So it needs to be prescriptive for your skin type, because we're all different.
Yeah.
So what works for your friend and is amazing, it's not always going to work for you, because, you know, even within the same family, I've got two teenagers that I have to treat quite differently with regards to how we work on their specific acne. One's sensitive, one's really super oily, but they're, you know, boy and girl as well, so different, you know,
different
hormones.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Because it's sort of like overworking the gut. I keep coming back to that. You said before about if you're going to throw money at it, I say that to clients all the time. I'm like, they come in with a box of supplements and they don't know what they're doing with them or when they're taking them. And most of the time they're like, oh, well, I take this on, I don't know, every 3 days, and then I take that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, if you're going to throw money at it, you've got to do it for a reason and what works and in the right order.
Right dose. That's right.
So,
and look, it's the same with skincare. We pair it back and then we introduce things one at a time rather than just overwhelm someone with, here's five new products, knock yourself out, and they come back and they say, my skin's gone, you know, crazy.
Yeah.
And so, well, I don't know what you're reacted to because I'm giving you five products.
Yeah.
So,
it's funny.
We're talking about people who over-prescribe and, like, how do you know what's working
and what's not working? You really don't. So it's a process of elimination. And once you find it, you stick with it, you know, and it's like the holy grail.
Yeah.
What about with, I guess, a question I have with the diet and stuff, what about hydration and water? Like,
important. Yeah, absolutely. So you often see a very dehydrated skin, and you know, it can be climate change, or they, you know, the change of season, or they've come from overseas and now they've come into a Queensland climate and their skin's gone, you know, I've come from a very cold climate into a very hot climate, my skin's just gone mental. So it's just about, you know, talking to them about what products they were using for a very dry, dehydrated skin, which is now responding in a different way because it's hot and sweaty a lot of the time, and using sunscreen. So but water is absolutely essential.
And you can see a skin that's dehydrated pretty quickly.
You really can, and it prematurely looks aged, and you know, so we can do some great treatments there. We can use peels, we can use micro, just to take off dead skin cells.
Yeah.
Same with the carbon laser facial. Remove the congestion and then hydrate. Mm-hmm. So if we can get rid of any layers of dead skin, then yep. obviously you're going to get the moisture in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But also coming from the inside, that's just as important.
It totally is. And the things like your essential fatty acids.
Yes.
Really important.
Yeah, so that would actually be one really good thing to finish on. And look, I don't think any of our, well, maybe, but I think most of our listeners are probably pretty well educated on fats. But, you know, we know now that fats are really important mm-hmm. for health and for skin health. Mm-hmm. Yes, like the right fats are going to help with hydration. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Anti-inflammatory as mm-hmm. well. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so not like your trans fats and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So would you say that as far as the big no-nos, like sugar would be a real driver for things like acne and whatnot?
Absolutely. And inflammation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dehydration.
Yeah.
So talking to people about the hidden sugars as well. Yeah. So someone says, you know, I drink a lot of Boost.
Yeah,
I'm healthy, and you know that's it's just about choosing how much fruit sugar you actually are taking. You know, I'm having two a day. I'm healthy. It's like
it's like 10 mangoes.
I mean, it's good. It's good to eat fruit, but just maybe the right sort of fruits for you, or just pair it back. You know?
But our last podcast in this series really delves into that. So if you missed our last fortnight, maybe go back and listen to that one, because we talked about the basics of working from the inside out. Yeah, and the specific nutrients and the foods and things like that. Yeah. And then today we're sort of working from the outside in. Cool. Did you want to add anything, Jess?
No, I've got nothing else to ask. That's been really fascinating. Yeah.
That's good. I was probably just going to say, you know, the latest movement in skin is all about collagen.
Yes, thank you for bringing that, because there is that the collagen powder.
Yes.
And I often promote it to clients for gut health and things like that. Mm-hmm. But how good is it for skin, like taking that animal collagen?
We're still doing our own trials.
Oh, okay.
Personally, I've seen some really good results.
Okay.
But watch the space, I guess.
Wow.
So I think it's about getting, a well-sourced collagen supplement. Because you can obviously use your bone broths and things, but how much do you need to take to really elicit change?
I agree with that. That's where I get a bit stuck on this concept of food as medicine, because... Yes, but there are conditions where you need to know what and how much, and this is what the research says.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And taking collagen powder on its own, I'm just interested, would you still need those cofactors and things like that to support it anyway?
Yes.
Like, it's not just about taking the collagen and then still eating.
Suddenly I'm not 12. So it's all part of the parcel, and approaching it from a double pronged approach, really. So from the inside and from the outside, so that you're going to get the best possible outcome.
I mean, skin is it's like our biggest organ, isn't it?
We never think about it as an organ, I don't.
No, that's it. Mm. Yeah.
And it is it's one of the most obvious telltale signs of inside health, isn't it, really?
Yeah,
it definitely is probably a motivating factor for people who do struggle with skin health.
Yes, yeah. And I think a lot more of them are open to discussion about diet in my practice.
That's good.
Than perhaps, you know, even 5 years ago.
Yeah. That's good.
Mm.
And that's what we hope this podcast today has sort of triggered as well, just for people to start questioning what, not only putting on their skin, but also inside.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And the marriage of the external and the internal together. Yeah. All right. So Meg's available at the Bee Clinic in the Valley here in Brisbane, and also from time to time at Sunnybank and also at Coorparoo. So if you are interested in, if you do have a serious skin condition and you want to work on the outside as well,
look Meg up at the B Clinic. We just want to finish on our five. Oh, and also we've got the B Clinic have got a Get Your Glow On event coming up
yes.
in the next couple of months.
Yeah, so we'll let you know about that. And consults are free, guys, so, you know, it doesn't cost you anything to come and have a chat.
Wow,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So we just want to finish on our five core values of the Nourished Wrap. So we encourage everybody to move every day in an enjoyable way, to take a few minutes time out to calm the mind, get a good sleep, eat whole foods most of the time, and at the end of the day, listen to your own body because you know it better than anyone. So thanks so much for joining us. Thank you, Meg, for coming onto the show, and we'll talk to you guys in a fortnight.
Bye.